If you want to know anything about God, if you want to know the truth about who God is, His character, if you want to know the truth about you, yourself, your sin nature, if you want to know the truth about salvation, how do you get right with God? If you want to know whether or not you're going to heaven when you die, you have to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect witness. He was and still is the perfect witness for God. When Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father," Jesus replied, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Don't waste your time studying philosophy. Don't waste your time dabbling in other religions. Don't waste your time listening to the so-called experts who will give their opinions, their theories about how we got here, why we behave the way we do, how we can find happiness. Invest your time in learning more about Jesus Christ, and do so through the study of the Scriptures, because Jesus is the perfect witness concerning God. Studying the Word of God is critical. We had an outstanding Sunday school session this morning. Ron Lyman began, we went to College 101 today, on learning the basics of the Bible. What a blessing. I want to encourage you to, he's going to be teaching the rest of the month, to come and study the Word. Go deeper in the Word of God. Ron, thank you for your presentation today and for all the work you did in putting that lesson, what was that, a year and a half, you said? That's diving deep to get to the truth of the Word. So instead of spending your time doing other things, these are the things that you want to invest your time in so that you can understand who God is. And how we understand God, or how we get to understand God, is through His Son. Now in today's text, John gives us three reasons why Jesus Christ is the perfect witness. The perfect witness for God. And why we should look to Him for answers concerning God and spiritual truth, and rather than go someplace else. Let's look at our text. He, Jesus, who comes from above, is above all. So if you look to anyone else, you're looking to those who are second or third best. Why not go right to the top? He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. Note the repetition. There's an emphasis here of Christ's superiority. How he is above all creation. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What are the three reasons that come out of this passage? First, Jesus is the perfect witness because he has firsthand knowledge concerning God. And he does so because of his origin. John 3:31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. Jesus Christ has firsthand knowledge of who God is, how God works, and what God's plan is. The second reason, a perfect witness must be willing to testify, to speak up about God. And Jesus certainly did so. John 3:32. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard. And thirdly, the perfect witness must be reliable. And Jesus was certainly reliable. Why? John 3:34. For whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus is a reliable witness because God the Father gave him a full measure of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth concerning God. Let's take a look at that first reason, verse 31. Jesus Christ was a perfect witness because he had firsthand knowledge. When it comes to the deep questions of life, do you want to read Voltaire, John Locke, or do you want to read the Scriptures? When it comes to finding answers to questions about God, who do you look to? John's arguing that you look to the one who has first-hand knowledge, and that is Jesus Christ. Why Jesus? Because from all eternity, Jesus has been with God. The Trinity had this perfect relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From eternity, Jesus existed before he was born to a virgin. He always was. Jesus can tell you everything you need to know about heaven because heaven is his home. And on top of that, Jesus Christ himself is God. So where else do you want to look to find the answers to those questions in life than to the one who is God himself? So if you're sitting in a high school or a college classroom and the instructors are teaching you that the way everything got started was when a big bang occurred billions and billions of years ago, and that it was through evolution that you got to this place, dismiss that nonsense by looking to Jesus for the truth. He who comes from above is above all. Who are you going to listen to, Darwin or Jesus Christ? Who are you going to trust to have the truth? We read in the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So who is that creation that can give you an account of how all of this started? What scientist can prove that the Big Bang theory was the way things started? They can't. And yet people accept that. In essence, what they're doing is saying, well, God is a liar. The Bible can't be trusted because God said he created. The Bible says that Jesus was at the beginning. He created. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything that was made. And yet the world runs after Darwin. John 1:14-18, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because He was before me. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus Christ, has made Him known." He has firsthand knowledge. John the Baptist, as significant as he was, a key figure in God's plan of salvation, preparing the way for Jesus, knew there was someone who was much superior than he was. He was higher than him. "He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." John understood. He spoke as one from the earth. Now, yes, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's word, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. But he was limited in his understanding of God. Jesus was not limited in his understanding. So John knew that he had to step aside. He must increase. You want answers about how to get right with God? Okay, I've come to preach repentance. But the one who comes after me, he preaches eternal life. I can't even undo his sandal. So don't go trusting in me, is what John's saying. Trust in the one who's coming after me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you're being indoctrinated to believe that homosexuality and transgenderism is the way God created people, go to your Bible and read how God created human beings. Genesis 1:26-27. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Did Jesus create gay people? These are the questions we have to ask when we are indoctrinated, when our kids are in schools, when they're in college, and all of this stuff is coming at them, and we see such filth on TV. And people are wondering, well, is this the new normal? How do you know the truth? Is that the right way to live? Or is there a better way? Well, who's to tell you how to live? Jesus Christ is. And He'll take you all the way back to, this is how you were created. I created you a male and I created you a female. You don't wake up someday and say, "Hey, I want to be a female." This is exactly the questions that are being posed to elementary school kids in New England. And I know it from my grandchildren. What would you like to be today? A boy or a girl? Who am I? You have been created in the image of God. You are not just another animal that evolved to a higher plane. He created you in His image. The epitome of creation. You can communicate. You can converse with God and with one another. No other animal can do that. They might make signs and sounds and all that kind of stuff, but it's only human beings who can communicate feelings and thoughts and emotions. I've been reading a book on several books on world views. And right now, the big issue among the scholars is you can be a human being without being a person. You choose what kind of person you want to be. Interesting worldview. So biologically, I can be who I am, but I want to be a different person. So I'm going to deny biologically who I am and become a person that is different from the way I was born. This is what's going on. Where do you find your truth? You go back to the Bible. You go back to Jesus Christ. He is the one who created us. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Does Jesus Christ have first-hand knowledge of God? Does Jesus Christ know who God the Father is predestined for salvation? Does Jesus know who He shed His blood to save? Does Jesus have first-hand knowledge of who will be saved and who will not be saved? Who else knows the plan of salvation completely? Who knows who will inherit eternal life? Only God does. And God reveals that through His Son. Those who believe in Him, the Scripture says, those who believe in Him will be saved. And those who don't believe or disobey, the wrath of God remains upon them. Well, wait a minute. I don't believe in the wrath of God. I believe that God's... Go to the Word of God and see. What is the truth? What did Jesus teach about hell? Well, yeah, but I don't believe that. That's disobedience. That's disbelief. That is sin. The second point. A perfect witness must be willing to testify, to speak up about God. And Jesus certainly was willing to do so and did so. He bears witness to what He has seen and heard. To bear witness is to show that something exists or that it is true. To bear witness is to make a statement that one saw or knows something is true, that is factual. Jesus, who is the truth, testified about God. He told people the truth about God, about His kingdom, about sin, about salvation, about eternal life. God had one Son, and He was a preacher. He went from the northern area of Galilee all the way down through Judea, preaching the kingdom of God. He was telling people, the first words out of His mouth in Luke 4, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He bore witness. This is the truth about God. God is a holy God. God is a loving God. He loved you so much that He sent me, is what Jesus is saying. That whoever believes in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, God is a God of love, but God is a God of justice. God tells us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, how do we get right with God? Well, God so loved us that He sent His Son into the world to save us, but also to bear witness. Here is how sinners get saved. Sinners get saved by the grace of God, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, all to the glory of God alone. The word goes out. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus bore witness. But he also accomplished salvation. He bore witness that God's plan of redemption was real. And that he was going to perform what needed to be performed, the good deed that would save sinners. So he took all of our sin, it was imputed upon us, upon him. All of our sin was transferred to him. And he went to the cross and he shed his blood there. His body was crushed. His blood was shed to pay the debt of our sin. And God accepted his perfect sacrifice by raising him on the third day. When we believe in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed or credited to us. And we become righteous. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, that's not fair. Why does somebody who is sinless, Jesus Christ, be punished for my sin? I have a hard time accepting that. I don't know. There's got to be another way. I have to do something. I have to help God in saving me. God says, no way. No way. You can't do anything to save yourself. God saves you because he loves you. And he's provided a way. Now, in this day and age, you're going to hear about all kind of different religions and philosophies and theories of salvation. You know, it all adds up to the same thing. You're all going on this, on different roads, but ending up in the same destination. You're all going to be right with God. Jesus refutes that. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And I just explained why he's the only way, because he has made the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice that God demanded, why he sent his Son, so that we could be saved. Now, to say, I don't need to hear this. I don't need to be born again. I don't need to repent. I can believe in Buddha. I can believe in Islam. I can choose whatever religions I want. They're all going to lead me. No, they're not. There's only one way to heaven. And God revealed it through his Son. Jesus is a perfect witness concerning God because he had first-hand knowledge. And secondly, because he bore witness of the things that he heard and saw in heaven. John 5:36. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you. He's talking to some of the unbelievers. For you do not believe the one whom he has sent. John 10:37. I am not doing the works. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know. And understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Jesus bore witness. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we studied how to be born again, what takes place when God opens the hearts of a person and causes them to be born again. That's what the beginning of chapter 3 is all about. And lastly, a witness must be reliable, must have firsthand knowledge, must be able to talk about it, and he must be reliable. John 3:33-36. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. Now note this. For he, God the Father, gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus is a perfect witness concerning God because he came from above, he witnessed, but because God had given him the full measure of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So when Jesus spoke, he spoke the truth. Ron in Sunday school this morning said, every word in the Bible is from God. Yeah. You don't subtract it. You don't add to it. Every word in the Bible is from God. Every word that Jesus spoke is from God. He's a reliable witness because God gave him a full measure. He never gave anyone else a full measure of the Spirit. Only Jesus Christ. A measure of the Holy Spirit was given to John the Baptist, of course, and to the Old Testament prophets, and to the good kings of Israel. But it was a limited measure. He gave to John the Baptist the Holy Spirit that made him sufficient for the preparatory work in preparing the way for Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews 1, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The full revelation of God came through Jesus Christ, who was given a full measure of the Holy Spirit. We see here how the Trinity works. Jesus had a measure of the Holy Spirit, a full measure, so that when he uttered the words of God, the words of God, he was uttering them in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke, God spoke. When Jesus speaks today, God speaks. He uses different mouthpieces, but he speaks today. He speaks through preachers. He speaks through teachers. He speaks through you parents, you grandparents. As you share the word of God with the next generation, God is using you and he's speaking through you by the Holy Spirit to impart the truth of God to the next generation. And as a result, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. God the Father doesn't say, well, Jesus, you weren't that clear. Yeah, there's people that came to faith, but as far as assurance goes, you might have done things a little differently. Or what some people consider today as the second chance. When Jesus comes again, you'll have another chance to get saved. He'll make sure you understand. No, that's nonsense. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life right now. The message was clear. It was reliable. It was the truth. The problem is not that God's message wasn't clear. As the Scripture says, whoever does not obey the Son or believe in the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The word goes out. The gospel goes forth. And there are people that say, I don't believe that. I was reading a book that was recommended by one of the local school districts. Good without God. And the whole theme is, you can be God. You can have your own life, have your happiness, have everything you want without God. God gets in the way. I was sitting in an in-service meeting with these teachers, and that's all I heard echoing is, yeah, our kids, yeah, they're having problems with drugs and alcohol and the sex, unbelievable. But you know, if we give them safe space, if we have some seminars, if we do some counseling, they can get over this hump and be good, good people. And when I interjected that you need God, that was the last time I was invited. I said, you cannot be good without God. You're in sin. Oh, that's you Baptists. You're all judgmental. You're bigoted. You're this, you're that. It was so sad. The message, the truth of how to get right with God is rejected. We don't want to hear that. And when you don't believe it, what is revealed in Scripture, you won't see life. You can't find happiness without God. You can't find peace without God. You cannot find eternal life without God. So who are you going to believe in? Who does John say we must believe in? Who's the perfect witness that can answer your questions? Who's the one that can accomplish or has accomplished salvation for you? Who is the one that will grant you eternal life? Jesus Christ alone. And to repeat the gospel, we're going to come to this table this morning. This ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And we are going to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross to make us right with God. The broken body and the shed blood. That's the only way of salvation. It's the only way of drawing near to God. And it's through Jesus Christ. Pastor Ben is going to come right now and pray and lead us to the throne of God where we may confess our sins in order to partake of the ordinance properly.